the creation and how God created this world and created each and every one of us, and he continues to create. And God's work of creation never ends. He creates, he created in the past, and we read that in the scripture that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth as we start the scripture. But the creation does not end there. Even though we read about the 7 days of creation, the creation continues even today. He creates new things and new lives, plants and flowers and beauty every day. And he not only creates, but also he redeems that are broken and make them beautiful again and make it useful for this world to become beautiful. And he sustains us, he sustains the creation that he created. So in the beginning God created, and the present he continues to create, and in the future he will continue to create again, because God is the creator. Why does God create? Because he's the creator. Why does somebody sing? A singer sings because he's a singer. God creates because he's the creator. That is his job. So God continues to create new things out of nothing. The whole universe, seen and unseen, existed or created from nothing. So whenever we look at the world and the things around us, there is so much beauty that we can marvel at and praise the God who created all these things. But many people who think that because of the evil and the problems that we face and the pain and suffering that we have to endure through this life, a lot of people don't believe that there is a God. But David says that in his Psalms, in 53 and also in 14, that the fool says in his heart that there is no God. In other words, there is such order and beauty, only a fool can say that there is no God. Instead of asking if there is so much evil, if there is a good God, why is so much evil there, instead of asking that question, we need to ask, if there is so much beauty, how can you say that there is no God? So God continues to make beauty out of bad things and broken things that you and I consider bad and broken. God continues to make them beautiful, and he creates and he sustains and he redeems those things that are broken in this world. The Bible story of creation, a lot of people think that is centered around earth and the creation of earth and life in this earth alone. So people call it so limited and geocentric, centered around the earth, like we call geometric. Geometry is about the science of this earth. So when we read the scripture, sometimes we get a perception that the whole creation was centered around earth and the living things and the unliving things, non-living things in this world only. But it's not like that. It is more centered around God. It is theocentric. It is not geocentric around earth, but it is theocentric. It is centered around God, the creator. The creation that we read in the scripture, the story that we read, is about centered around God himself, that God created. And unlike anything that you and I see, God created all these things from nothing, which man or anybody else cannot do that. We cannot make or create something from nothing. In the Hebrews chapter 1, we read, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens and the work are the hands of the work of your hands. But they all will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, but you will roll them like a rug, like a garment that can be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." So the question of whether the 7 days of creation were literal days or symbolic of a development stage or not, some people have different arguments about those things, but the truth is that those are all irrelevant to the undeniable fact that the reality of creation happened and it continues to happen. The universe that you can see and we cannot see exists. And Bible tells only a little portion of that. Because Bible is not a science book. It is not there to give you some scientific theories and theorems. It is not a scientific book. It is given to us like the famous preacher D.L. Moody used to say, that the scripture was not given to us to increase our knowledge, but it was given to change our lives. That is the purpose of the scripture. So even though we read about the story of creation and many things that happened in the beginning, it is not to be tied up with the science, but it is to understand the glory of God and how the Creator is so almighty that He continues to create and sustain His creation. Excuse me. In Romans, Paul says that the power of God is given to our salvation. The word is our light and the lamp in our pathways of life when we get lost. So we read that God created light first, and by His word of mouth, let there be, and it was. All the creation except man, God created out of His mouth and said, let there be, and it was there. So the first day that we read that let there be light, God separated light from the darkness. Light is a key factor of energy. If you have studied, many of you have studied in high school and other places, the equation, energy equation that the famous scientist Albert Einstein gave us, E equals mc squared. Light is a key component of the factor of equation of energy. Without energy, there is nothing, right? Dean probably knows that, right? And everything about energy and matter is related to the speed of light. So God created light first by the word of His mouth, let there be light. And it is not surprising, because the speed of light is part of everything that we see around us and unseen around us. Some may ask that if God created sun later on, then how can there be light on the first day? Well, sun is not the only source of light. We read in the Bible that God is the source of light. God is light Himself. We read that in 1 John chapter 1 verse 5. We read, God is light and Him is no darkness at all. God Himself is the light that existed before that. But God created the rest of them for us to see during these times of creation that we read in the scripture. And you and I know that there are many forms of light, types of light. Visible light, shortwave light includes ultraviolet and x-rays. Like, even you cannot even see those things. So that means light itself has so many different forms. But all of these things have origin in God Himself, who is the light. And He is the light who gave us the light to see between each other and to see the world with our eyes. So He created this light, let there be light. When He said that there was light, became shining in darkness, so that we will not be in darkness. That is what He does today, even in the midst of darkness of our lives. He said, let there be light. When we are confused about things that we cannot see, and we are confused with the directions of life that we don't know where to turn to or where to go to, and there is turmoil and lack of peace everywhere, and darkness seems to loom and close our vision around us, God says, let there be light. And He brings light in the darkness of our life in this world, so that we can see things clearly, and with God's love we can see things in a different perspective. John says that in chapter 1 in his gospel, that the light shines in the darkness. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. Yet The world did not know him. So it is plain that Jesus is speaking of the light that came through him. Today that is what we need in this world, the light of Jesus Christ, shining in us and shining through us. That God created right from the beginning, let there be light. He is creating that light in our lives today, so that we can be a shining light to this world in the midst of this darkness and turmoil that is going around this world. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness will not comprehend light. A little light of candle can actually take over a pitch darkness in a room, but darkness will never take over light, because God gave us the light. The light is a reflection of his character. God himself is the light. The darkness will never comprehend light, but even a small ray of light can take over darkness. In other words, no created thing is more powerful than its creator. Someone might say, well, atom bomb and all this nuclear power that we have, aren't they more powerful than man himself? Even though we created them, aren't they though powerful? Yes, they are. But we did not create it. We did not create it from nothing. We only made those things or invented those things from the things that were available in this world. Unlike God, who created from nothing. And God is the only one who can create things out of nothing. We can only do things or make things or invent things that are already existing. Components that are already existing out there. But God created everything out of nothing, including matter and the laws that control them. If you can make something out of nothing, you can always turn that something into nothing. That's what God is. He can turn something into nothing as well. That's the reason why John says that darkness cannot comprehend light. The creation cannot make a creator. God is God and we are not. Sometimes we try to create God in our image. It's the opposite of what God did. God created us in his image, and we turn it around and try to make God according to our likeness. God is somebody who is not going to be fit in a box as you and I like. God is eternal and he is everlasting, and he is the source of all light that you and I are seeing now. There are so many different things people believe about God, that there's everything that you see can be God, according to Hindus, and other religions believe that you and I are God ourselves. But God teaches us that there is one creator and there is a creation. There's a distinction between the creator and creation. And the creation will never be able to create anything out of nothing. So the living organisms that we also see here is created by God. We read that in on the third day, let the earth put forth plant. And God said, on the fifth day, let the waters bring forth living creatures. Let the earth bring forth living creatures on the sixth day. And we continue to read that, let there be, let this be, and it was there. So there is this living organisms that God created, the plants and the animals and all those things that we see around us that are living, that are growing and dying. But they all die and perish. That's what we need to understand. If it is mere energy, how are they perishing? How does living organism avoid decay? The obvious answer is by eating and drinking, breathing and assimilating, we avoid decay of our bodies. If we wholly dependent on food and eating and drinking only, we would never die, right? We should never die. But that is not true. We die and we decay. There is something internal that is setting order and thus escaping the decay while we are living. Nutrition is necessary but is not sufficient to account for our living, because we all die even when we eat and drink. So creation of life is unique. Unlike other things that God created, creation of life is so unique that life can grow and life can reproduce and life will decay. So those are the mysteries of creation that you and I believe, that these are all not by accident, but these are all done by a creator who is all powerful, who is almighty, who is continuing to create in the chaos of this world. And we all are dependent on that creator to sustain on a daily basis. God is the creator not only of the nature, of the living things or all the things that we see around us, but he's also the creator of social and moral and spiritual laws. Sometimes we get lost in those things because we enjoy the natural and the seen things and forget about those things that God also created, the social, moral and spiritual laws that God created. Just like he did the outset of creation, God can take the formless voids of our lives, give them shape and speak light into the darkness of our souls. God took something that was without shape and formless void, something that was covered in darkness, and he made something good out of it that you and I can enjoy and live in this world. God will shape, give shape to that which has no shape. God will bring order to that which is chaotic and without direction. He gives form to something that is formless. There are a lot of lives around us, among us, that are broken by various things and have no shape or form, and broken by addictions and depressions and violence and hatred. But God can redeem them and take them and recreate them and make them beautiful again, so that they will become the beautiful creation that God wants them to be, so that they can be a blessing to this world. He mends the broken relationships and reconciles them and heals the wounded spirit of people who are broken. And he heals our bodies and recreate our bodies so that we can live in this world without pain and suffering. Apart from God, life has no purpose and no direction and no meaning. God is continuing his creation work today in you and me. Let there be light in those who are in darkness. And let there be direction in life when we lose our directions. Let there be peace for those who are restless and in grief. Let there be joy in the midst of suffering and pain and illness. Let there be comfort for those who grieve and mourn. Let there be new creation for those who repent. God's spoken word still is powerful to heal us and mend us. David says, and in Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice of the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. So God's voice is still creating, and he says, let there be, and it is there. We are all here because he continues to say, let there be, and we are here. I read a devotion recently that came in upper room that about a young man, Michael, who was addicted to drugs and alcohol. He was born in a loving family, raised in a very good Christian family. And he does not fit the stereotype of a drug addict or an alcoholic. He's a handsome young man, well-dressed and well-groomed, 4.0 average in school, very bright young kid. But he got into some kind of a broken friendships and started using alcohol and eventually drugs. And after struggling for some time with addiction, he had recently completed rehabilitation and then seemed to be on the right track. But he fell back again into his addiction one day and then showed signs of relapse. One afternoon he went downstairs and turned on his music loudly, and in about 30 minutes he was found dead. He was about 23 at that time. Those who knew him were heartbroken. by a beautiful life that is broken into pieces like that and finally ended up in that. The service, the funeral service was packed with his friends and people and relatives who were talking about great things about this young man. His mom is writing like this: "We gave our son Michael some good lessons from the scripture. Like the Psalm 126:6 reminds us that in times of grief, God will provide us with strength, joy and healing, allowing us to bear fruit for his kingdom. We can only raise our children, our next generation, in the hope that they will become a beautiful piece of art in this world. But it is up to the Creator to mend and mold them." After struggling through his rehab, Michael's life became tragic and ended up in death after the treatments of several months. Michael's rehab groups were encouraged by the work that his parents started doing. They started giving out a book that encourages people to go to rehab to recover from addiction. And the parents started giving out about 200 books to people who are going through similar struggles like Michael's. So their mission is to allow something good to come out of those chaotic and bad circumstances, horrible lives of addiction. The loss of a child is a horrible tragedy. It is not true that each day gets little better until you are healed. Rather, each morning we face a fork in the road. One path is using the book and the message to help others while honoring the memory of our son. The other path is allowing our sinful human nature, anger and jealousy to rule ourselves. Some days we take the right path, and the other days sometimes we all take the sinful path. But our hope and prayer is that over time we will choose the right path and will become the beautiful creation that God wants us to be. He mends the brokenhearted. He recreates the broken pieces into the beautiful piece that God wants us to be. In Jesus Christ, we become something entirely new from what we have been before. And we read that in Scripture in 2 Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Everything old has been passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. People of God, as we look at the world today, a lot of things are broken. We ourselves are broken and we don't know where to turn to and what to do in this time of situation. But we have a Creator who continues to create. And he creates and he recreates. He takes the broken pieces and he can put them together into the beautiful piece that he wants us to look like. So let us continue to trust in that Creator, that he will bring peace and beauty to this chaotic situation around us. Let us continue to trust in a God who loves us, who can redeem us from our sinful nature, who can take our painful and suffering body and give us healing in our bodies. He can give peace and comfort to our souls that are grieving at this time. Let us continue to hold on to that hope and then spread that hope and news around this world at this time. May God bless us with all this hope during the days to come and to be a light in this world to share his love and compassion to others. May God bless you all. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 348, Softly and Tenderly. If you can sing with us, please feel free to do so.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, come home, ye who are weary. earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Why should we tarry while Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised for you and for me. Though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
People of God know that God can mend the worst broken pieces of our lives and make it beautiful. No matter how much our circumstances seem hopeless around us, God can take it and recreate it and redeem it and make it peaceful and beautiful as we trust in Him. Go in peace knowing that He is with us, continuing to create and recreate our lives and molding it to become beautiful again. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.